This is Your Working Life, a podcast that provides you with tools, inspiration, and resources so you can enjoy your career and love your life. I'm Caroline Dowd Higgins. I'm a speaker, an author, and an executive coach. And today, I am delighted to welcome Genevieve Couturo to the show. Genevieve will discuss how to transform your life, embrace the human connection, and lead with meaning. Genevieve, welcome.
Thank you, Caroline.
My goodness, you have such a fascinating background. You were a successful television marketing executive, and then you write about how a sudden inner voice challenged you to change direction. So if you would share that story with this global audience, I think that'll be a great setup.
Sure. Yeah, it shocked me. So I was working in marketing. That was my dream from when I was a young child watching Mary Tyler Moore show. And she was this TV executive and I wanted to be everything Mary was. And from my traditional upbringing, dad off the boat from Italy, my mom was Italian. They expected me to go to college, but also get married and have kids. And that second part wasn't in my plan. My plan was go to college, get Mary's job. And I did that. And it was a crazy whirlwind life in New York City. And I was climbing that ladder up to that corner office when 12 years in a very quiet moment in my pretty little apartment that I owned, I heard a voice. And I now know, I knew soon after, it came from my heart. So it was my heart voice. Ask me a question, which was, if this is the next 30 years of your life, is this enough? And Caroline, you can imagine that was a jolting question, because I was on the path that I set out to be on. And I didn't know where that voice was coming from. I wasn't a meditator. I wasn't very spiritual or religious, but I knew it was a real, honest voice. And it made me stop in that moment and think, in another 30 years, if I keep going this way, I will be alone. All I'll have is money and nice things, but I'll be really tired. And for what? And that got me starting to think of what was missing.
Wow. So let's take it a step further, because you found a true purpose when a six-year-old girl posed a question to you. So pull that thread, because that's a fascinating story.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. Immediately, I realized that there was something in the traditional plans my parents had for me to have a family. And because I didn't, husband or kids, I thought, how can I bring children into my life? And I had nephews and nieces, godchildren, but I wanted more of them. So I called emergency shelters that the police directed me to when I called them after seeing a news report about children being harmed by those who were supposedly caring for them. And I asked if I could come in and read to the children at night into an emergency shelter. And they said that would be lovely. And I did. And I never felt more grounded than sitting on that bare floor in this shelter hidden from the public, where women or whoever was running with a child was running and brought to and found. And they were caring for these children while trying to figure out the circumstances. So I was sort of taking care of them for an hour or so with stories. So I brought books. They told me to bring books and I read to them. And I could tell by their silence, by some of them who were crying, by what they were wearing and what their clothes were like, that they had been mistreated. And that's putting it nicely. So week after week, I went different children into that emergency shelter, but all the same traumatized children. And one night I followed where they were taking the children in to go to sleep at night. And it was equally bare, and they were crying and huddled together on, you know, cots or futons in their clothes. And I asked if I could bring pajamas with the books next time. So they thought that was a great idea, and I did. And I read to them that night with all the pajamas in the bags and a few on the table I set out. And I started to hand out the pajamas, and the children took them, except there was one little girl who was so afraid of me. And she was a mess. Her clothes were tight and soiled, and her ponytails were, you know, a mess, and she'd been crying. And I tried to give her the pajamas, but she just kept shaking her head. She was so afraid of me, and I didn't know why. And she just kept moving back, but she didn't want to go into that room. She wanted to watch me give them to the other children who were taking them. So when she was the only one left with her caregiver, I went over and I knelt down with those pajamas I had kept in the hopes that she'd take them. And I explained, you know, You can have these pajamas. Look how soft they are. Do you want to touch them? You can keep them. They're pink like your shirt. And here I am trying to convince her to touch them and take them. When she leaned in and she asked me, what are they? What are pajamas? Mm-hmm. And that was the end of any motivation or desire for me to keep climbing that corporate ladder. All I wanted to do was stay there with her and, you know, and just make sure she was safe and warm and find other kids who needed pajamas.
Oh, I mean, I have chills hearing that story, and I can just visualize in my mind that beautiful little girl and that conversation. So clearly there was an impact there. So what next? You know, after you have that conversation and you're experiencing this, what did you do next?
I became obsessed. I just couldn't get the thought of that little girl and how many other little girls and boys were sleeping in their clothes and didn't even know what pajamas were. And it was so wrong to me. And I just, you know, I kept shopping and buying and going back there and going to all the others. And of course, those caregivers were thrilled and were telling their friends who were in other shelters, running other shelters. So I was getting a lot of calls and I just loved it. I loved it. And of course, being obsessed with that and losing interest for my job, I put my job at jeopardy. My financial, mess was building. And it just, I felt like, of course I had a choice, but I felt like I had no choice. This was it. This was what was making my heart beat. And I had to do this. And I didn't tell anyone for a very long time because I didn't know what this was. You know, I didn't know what I'd say to anyone. And I just kept getting in deeper and deeper. And I just was filled with joy when I was, you know, on the way to the shelter and I was carrying those bags, struggling to carry all the bags and running up my credit card bills. I just never felt so whole and so grounded and so connected to these children.
You know, you can absolutely hear the energy and the joy and the vibrancy in your voice. And something that I want to repeat, you talked about a job versus a calling. And clearly, this was a calling. This is a calling. But I want to ask, because there are so many people listening around the world, and they have heavy decisions, and it's hard to make that courageous choice of pursuing a calling versus the job. How did you come to terms with that heavy decision-making process?
Yes, it was difficult. And, you know, I teach it now and I coach people both the jump, which is what I did, or the slide, because I understand people have responsibilities and children and mortgages and all of that. And what I felt compelled to do might not be possible for the first step for someone. So I teach the slide. But having said that, it was excruciating for me, again, because I didn't tell anyone. And I did have an independent life and I did have bills and I did have a mortgage. But I didn't have a lot of common sense, I guess. But it worked out because we need that passion. We need that purpose. And purpose was never a word anyone asked me if I had. We never talked about it. You know, my generation, if we want to call it a generation, nobody ever said, before you find a job or a career, you know, think hard, what's your purpose? Find your purpose, let it find you, discover it. So when I felt this, it wasn't until later that I learned the word purpose. And I kept doing it until I had the courage to start talking about it. And when I saw the reaction after the first friend who really beat me down for, you know, all the questions I had no answers to, what are you going to do about money? Why would you do this and, you know, leave the job of 12 years? You're almost in the corner office, so to speak. That took me back. But when I found that people felt that little girl's heart, that hole in her heart, the way I did and wanted to help, there was no turning back. I said, this is something. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, but this is coming from some place that is not earthly, shall we say. This mm-hmm. is coming from a higher calling. You use that word. And I just trusted, and the magic started to happen. I kept meeting the right people who could help and meeting the people who would share their story of, you know, as an entrepreneur, how scary it was. And I just took one step at a time. I did get into financial, you know, difficulty, and my book is honest. And every time I speak and anytime I mentor or coach people, especially in the beginning, I said, I'm going to be honest. And it really helped to share that part of the journey, because it did come out better than all right. You know, it's the best life you can have when you, especially when you sacrifice and then you reach that dream goal.
Genevieve, we'll be right back after a quick break. I'd like to tell you about a special offer. If you want to bring your podcast to life or up your podcast game, you can get up to 2 months of free podcasting service with Libsyn using my special code CDHWORK. The Libsyn team will get your podcast on Apple and Spotify and give you access to critical stats and all the support you need to sound your best and grow your show. Use my special code CDHWORK. Hiring the right speaker for your event is a tremendous responsibility. You need a speaker who will work within your budget and engage your audience. Whether you're looking to retain or grow top talent, create a healthy workplace culture, or prevent burnout in your organization, I can create customized content to help you recharge, reignite, or reinvent your career. Let's talk about how I can help you achieve your special event goals. Connect with me at caroline.higgins.com. I agree with you 100%. Your book is honest and transparent and real, which I am so grateful for as a fellow entrepreneur and coach and speaker. And you talk about the hard lessons and how you move forward. So share with this audience that first really hard lesson that you learned and what you did about it.
I think one of the hard lessons was I tried to juggle everything. You know, and I say in my book, as you probably read, the heart of the matter lessons after every chapter. And one of them is leave juggling to the clowns, because I thought I was fooling everyone. I thought I was still going to work and giving my all. You know, part of me said, no, you're not. I said, nobody's going to notice because I gave 150%. And I don't have to worry about my credit card bills because, you know, I'll pay the minimum. And I juggled everything, keeping everything a secret. And it never works. You know, it never works. It leaks, it falls apart, somebody finds out, and it's worse than if you were just honest, first with yourself and then with some trusted people. And the second lesson that goes along with that is find your cheerleaders first. I went to a friend, more of an acquaintance friend, to test the waters. And as I said before, she just started hammering me with all kinds of questions I had no answers to, until I finally went to my family, who I knew would think it was odd and be frightened for me, but at least they would, like my mother said, you'll figure it out. I know you'll figure it out. And then I met a great guy and I had a feeling he would understand. And his reaction was, go for it. And so it took me at least 6 months to stand up after that friend knocked me down. And I say, you've got to find those cheerleaders, because you're going to need them in the dark times.
Yeah, you've got to find the right community. So let's do the big reveal. Tell us about the pajama program and what that is. You gave us the lead in, but how's it going now?
Yes. So, you know, back to one more universal magic. I was sitting on a subway and my new husband had said to me, meditate. And he taught me how to meditate. Didn't even know what that was. And I didn't know. I said, what is this thing I'm doing running around crazy with pajamas to the shelters? And in the subway, I did ask the universe, and plop in my head like a raindrop was, this is pajama program. And then it became real. It became an entity. And now we are 23-24 years nationwide, even beyond, 42 chapters around the U.S., over 7 million new pajamas, new books given to children. And we're educating some of the children who are in a more stable but still in need situation, how important bedtime is and sleep, because you can imagine that they have a very hard time concentrating and focusing with everything that's happened in their lives.
Absolutely. So I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you about the O factor and your appearance on Oprah. That must have been quite something. Tell me about it.
Yes, it really, really was. I mean, when you are down and out and thinking, where's the next dollar going to come from? How am I going to do this? Or I need extra help. The universe answers. And that was a huge phone call from the producer out of the blue. Asked me, you know, called me and said, hi, this is so-and-so from the Oprah Winfrey Show. Do you have a minute? And I laugh because, of course,
yes, I'll make a minute.
Time, right? And people have been writing in about this. You know, I'll put the word crazy and crazy lady handing out pajamas, you know, to the emergency shelters. But it touched a chord in people, and thank God it touched a chord in Oprah, because the show was amazing. There's a big reveal and a big surprise for anyone who wants to Google my name on the show. You will see it, and I don't want to ruin it by just telling it. You have to see it. But it, of course, it changed everything. And they aired it 3 times, and then the magazine came first. And then where are they now? And it's just a testament to how deep our human connection goes. And that little girl's question just touched everybody who heard the story.
Wow. So you have a beautiful quote that I want to read aloud. It's not the power of one that changes things. It's the power of one another that moves mountains and moves people. And in that spirit, Genevieve, we've got so many people listening around the world that are contemplating an entrepreneur's journey, thinking about their calling. So one tip, one nugget about someone who is contemplating, and then another nugget for someone who's taken that step and is starting to move forward.
It's never too late. I have people come to me all the time, especially since we've been through this pandemic. Things have been on the back burner. We all have those things, you know, when the kids get married, when I save enough money. It's never too late. Don't ever think it is.
I agree. And you're a perfect example of that. So what about someone who's there, who's identified their calling? How do they put it into action?
Call me.
There you go.
I always offer, you know, an hour, 90-minute conversation. Because we need cheerleaders. I learned that. And I can share a lot of the mixed feelings. I can share a lot of the practical things I did. You don't know who you know until you start making a list. And you've got to know that you know the 6 degrees of separation rule, that somebody is going to show up, or you're going to put your finger on their name when you need it. You have to believe, you have to have faith, because it will happen.
So let me ask you, you've been doing this for 20 plus years, and you have your own company, your own consulting business. Is there aspiration for something more and different? You know, where do you think now moving forward, what does the future look like?
Well, I've been speaking. So I gave the executive directorship to pass on the baton a couple of years ago, because I said 20 years of telling people the story and speaking was really what I wanted to do next, because there have to be more people who are holding back on living their dream and their purpose. So I'm speaking, and I'm going to start a national tour, a speaking tour this fall. So if anyone wants information, you can contact me. But I want to speak more, and I want to write a second book.
Oh, that's wonderful. Genevieve, I am so grateful that you shared your wisdom and expertise on the show today. I want to tell this global audience about your book. It's called Purpose, Passion, and Pajamas: How to Transform Your Life, Embrace the Human Connection, and Lead with Meaning. And of course, it's available on Amazon and all major book retailers. But you so generously offered for people to connect with you. What's the best way for them to do that, Genevieve? How can they find you?
They can see what I do on my website, GenevievePiturro.com. They can schedule something there, or they can email me directly at GenevievePiturro.com.
Genevieve, I am so truly grateful. You made my day. Keep up the extraordinary work, and I hope our paths continue to cross.
So do I. Thank you for this invitation, Caroline.
You are so welcome. Your Working Life is now available on all major podcast platforms, and I want to hear from you, so let me know how we're doing. You can find me at CarolineDowdHiggins.com. And a special shout out to my extraordinary podcast colleagues, Laura Deck, Executive Director of Publicity and Communications, and Claire McInerney, Executive Producer. Thank you for making this show awesome for our global audience. We now have listeners in 16 countries around the world. I'm Caroline Dowd-Higgins. Thanks for listening.